In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am like a lonely sparrow on a housetop, like an owl of the waste places, the desert owl of the wilderness. So prayed our psalmist. There are times that in our lives that we feel like that sparrow, alone in a big empty place, without a friend in the world. But notice that for the psalmist, this isn't simply loneliness. What has separated him from his friends? What has even turned them into enemies? What is it that has brought his own mortality and fear right in front of his face? He tells us, because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. It's God's indignation and wrath at his sin. When God's law does its work on our hearts, that's how we feel, alone and silent before an angry God. For remember, God does not overlook our sin. Sin must be punished. As Paul said, through the law comes knowledge of sin. This is what the law does, my friends. It crushes us. It shows us what we deserve: death, condemnation, to perish. That is to say, the law casts us into hell. We had a question after this afternoon service: what is hell? And we learn from the psalmist, in part, that it is complete separation from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what hell is like. And it is the sin that separates us from him. It's sin that makes us not worthy to be in his presence. These sins, the psalmist records, cling to us. They hold us back and hold us down. The sins seek to keep you away from God and away from his mercy, to think that you are but doomed to die. It's sin that tries to blind you to your own true character as a beggar before God. Sin makes you think of yourself more highly than you ought. But God gives his law, and it has its way with you. Like Jesus looking at Peter, as we heard last week, God's law looks at you. You see yourself for what you truly are, a sinner who needs redemption. And like Peter, you weep. That's what confession and absolution is all about. This is what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is about reconnecting you to the God who saves you. The psalmist confesses that our God is different than us. Our days are like an evening shadow. We wither away like the grass. But God is not like us. He is enthroned forever, remembered throughout all generations. So also with what he has said, his promises, to arise and to have mercy on Zion, to have mercy on you. That's his promise. And with his promise is eternity. He will keep his promise until your days end. So what does this have to do then with confession and absolution? Well, as we said, before God we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we're not aware of, just as we do in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. But before the pastor we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. God wants us to plead guilty of our sins, all of them, even the ones we're not aware of, the things we've done, the things we've left undone, those which we know, those which we don't, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, as we do each Sunday, each weekend, in the general confession and absolution. But he also wants us to confess those sins which trouble our conscience, specifically. Those that weigh us down, that make us feel like our bones are clinging to flesh, cause us to groan, that distract us from our work, even causing us to forget to eat our bread, as the psalmist said. Last week we said that to confess is not for God. For God already knows our sins. We're not already telling him anything new. We can't hide from our God, like Adam and Eve tried. So why confess? The same reason we pray, for ourselves. We confess our sins so that we would acknowledge them as the Lord would have us do, so that God would forgive us, that we would hear that word of forgiveness as the comfort that it is intended to be. As a sinner, not only need, but we want to hear that God forgives us. We don't want to read about God's forgiveness, just know that we have a God who died for us. We don't simply want to pray about a God who forgives us. Because like we were talking about again this afternoon after church, to just hear that God forgives you and not receive it personally, to know that it is actually for you individually, still leaves you in some doubt, wondering whether it actually is true. Is it really true that God has saved me? That's one of Satan's great games. Satan loves to cast doubt on God's forgiveness. He loves to make the one in the pew who hears the word, "I forgive you your trespass, forgive you your sins, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ," to hear that word and to think, that's for everybody else, but it's not for me. But where Satan casts doubt, our Lord plants a tree of righteousness and certainty. He gives forgiveness of sins personally to you in holy baptism, when you were washed, and God's name was placed upon you, and you were adopted as a son with Christ. He gives forgiveness of sins when the hand of the pastor is placed on your head, and he says, "I forgive you your sins." He places forgiveness of sins in Christ's body and blood in your mouth. When we hear the passion account, especially the death at Calvary, remember that that is for you. Our Lord was abandoned by all so that you would never be abandoned or left alone. He was flogged and spat upon so that you would never bear those horrible marks from God. He was given over to the hands of his enemies so that you would remain in God's presence forever. He died so that you would live. So when Satan flings your sins in your face, when the world tells you that you are not worthy to be saved, when your own conscience cast doubt in your heart about your life and your salvation, where do you flee? Where do you go? But to Christ's word of absolution, of forgiveness. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's not his only word at the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord died at the cross so that your sins would be forgiven. So why cling to them? Why keep them to yourself? Confess them. Say them to your Lord, and he will fling them into the depth of the sea. As we say in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far does our Lord remove our transgression from us. They're like that old withered robe that is worn out, and he changes them. Gives you a new robe, a robe of righteousness. Every time you hear words about forgiveness from God, those are words about Christ's death at the cross. They're words about your baptism. For in baptism, God connected you to that death and resurrection. You were baptized into Christ, into his death, so that in absolution, you would receive forgiveness. And he returns you in absolution back to those waters, cleansing you of sin again and again and again. That, my friends, is the Christian life. So rejoice. God has heard your prayers for mercy. You may feel as if you're alone, alone from your friends, alone from God, separate from Him, like a sparrow on a housetop. It is not true. The God who laid the foundations of the earth, who sent His Son to die for you, even now holds you in the palm of His hand and loves you forever. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen.